Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Susie Larson Live. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I'll just be honest. It's taken me a long time to unlearn what my producer Angie calls awfulizing. Or worst-case scenario-izing, you know, projecting past fears into a future that we don't think God is in. Anyone who's walked through challenging times, especially times that have an unknown outcome, can come through those times with new ways of bracing for impact and expecting the worst. So how do we learn to trust God and believe for the best? Well, I'm excited about today's show. Author, speaker Heidi Lee Anderson joins me to talk about her book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good, How God's Word Answers Our Questions About Our Faith, Fear, and All Things. We're going to get her on in a moment, but first I just want to tell you, she's a bright ray of sunshine, and we've got five copies of her book. She's funny insightful, and she's speaking from a place of credibility because she has walked through the valley. This isn't just don't worry, be happy kind of theorizing. This is hard fought wisdom in the valley of the shadow. We've got five copies of P.S. It's Going to Be Good to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. This month, our theme is, as you've been hearing, it's forgiveness. And we really, even though we want this to be a way of life, we want to take a month to especially focus on the power and the invitation and even the charge to forgive. So as you go to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning, I just challenge you to spend some time with the Lord to say, is there anything in my heart against anybody? And do business with God. Release them. Forgive them. As one of my guests said recently, Alan Jackson said, it's not saying it doesn't matter. It's taking yourself out of the equation so God can better deal with it. I like that. So is there a scenario where you need to take yourself out of the equation so God can move in and move in a way that makes the most sense and is the most redemptive, right? So be listening as we talk more about forgiveness in the days ahead. But we're so honored and grateful that we have a God who forgives us, and so we forgive others. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Heidi Lee Anderson's a writer, speaker, stay-at-home mom. She has a bachelor's degree in marketing from University of Northwestern, our wonderful university across the street. She spent her career doing ministry from teaching hundreds in kids' ministries to writing daily devotionals and Bible reading plans and small group curriculum as a content developer. After being diagnosed with cancer, Heidi's fuel is now to make sure that Christ followers realize how to and claim the sure promises that God offers in the mundane, amid the heartache, and on top of the highest mountains. Heidi, welcome to the program.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. This is a dream come true.
Wow, it's such an honor to meet you as well, and I'm excited to talk with you. And before we dig into your book, which, you know, I know your audience, I write to women as well, but we have a good split of men and women who listen, as you well know, and I feel like, you know, you'll say something like, come on, girlfriend, because that's who you're writing to. But I want you to know what Heidi has to say is for you, too. So buckle up and hang on. But before we get into the content, just let's talk personal in your time with the Lord. What's he been talking to you about?
Yeah. You know, so ever since being diagnosed with cancer, I have these annual scans. And right now I'm in the middle in between. And I've had a couple of health scares. I just had a doctor appointment yesterday. And while I'm in the midst of that, I was reading in Ezekiel 34, how God had raised up these leaders to lead over Israel. But what happened? Well, he actually gets upset because they're being poor leaders. They're not taking care of the weak, he said. They're not tending to the sick, binding to their wounds. It says they've gone looking for their own appetite. But what I love when I read that is God said, you know what? I'm going to be that shepherd then. I'm going to take the place of these poor leaders, and I'm going to lead my people. And then I just camped on that shepherd theme. And we know Psalm 23, that beautiful passage, that the Lord is my shepherd. But what I love even more is that Jesus takes it the next step further. He says in John 10, like, I am the good shepherd, you know, like, in case we need to clear it up. I'm not bad. I don't have bad intentions for you. I am a good shepherd who loves my sheep and will take care of you. And as I've been facing these what if worst case scenarios and having to battle against that, I've really dwelled on that Jesus is my good shepherd. And what I love when I've studied shepherds is that as they bring the sheep into the fold for the night, I've read that they inspect each individual sheep as they bring them in. And at night, I've just pictured God looking me over and just,
I love it.
Just caring after me. And then him himself sleeping as the door, as the gate in front of the fold, that he's watching over me.
Beautiful.
And what a great thing that we have the Lord Almighty who claims to be our good shepherd. And that has just brought so much peace when I've been so scared.
Wow.
You know?
Heidi, thank you for sharing. And that just, to me, makes it so, so personal. And friends, if you want to even dig a little deeper into the shepherd idea, there's an old classic book by Philip Keller, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. It's so brilliant because he, as a believer, was also a shepherd and just talked about just the ways that the shepherd really does lay their life down and care for the sheep. So you've described it so beautifully. But talk to us about the days before your cancer diagnosis. What was life like for you? What was your faith journey like?
It's funny because I see this same picture resurrect on my Facebook feed. You know how they send old images back where you can remember? And I saw an image, it always pops up, Wisconsin Dells. I was there with my family. It was right before my diagnosis. And I just felt a lump on my neck at that point, and I was about to go into the doctor. And I just remember when I look at that picture, it's like, man, life was just blissful back then. You know, there was nothing hovering over my head. I didn't have anything to fear necessarily, but I did love the Lord. I was in college. That's where I feel like I met Jesus and I got to know his word. And it was just a couple years after that, when I was 23, I was actually working at a local church. And it really was a punch in the gut to me personally, where I've just never experienced a curveball quite like that.
So let me get this right. So you were at Wisconsin Dells when you were a college student. And you discovered a lump?
Yes, it was after college. I was a graduate, and I had felt the lump on my neck. But I just figured, you know, you get enlarged lymph nodes sometimes when you're sick.
So you ignored that for a while?
Yes.
Okay, and so how long did you wait till you went to the doctor?
It was about 2 months.
Okay, and then when you went to the doctor, is that when you got the news?
So they took a bunch of different tests, and I didn't know anything at the time. And then a few weeks went by when they told me that I did indeed have Hodgkin's lymphoma. But then it would be another 3 weeks before an oncologist was even available to meet. So I had 3 weeks between hearing the diagnosis, but not knowing what stage I was at, what treatment looked like, what even were my chances of making it. And I just remember those 3 weeks. Oh, it was just hard to breathe some days, you know?
And how old were you at that point?
So I was 23 years old.
Okay. Wow. So in those 3 weeks, and then when you actually had the appointment, who was with you?
It was my parents.
Okay.
So I was single at the time, and they came with me. And I just remember the oncologist looked at me and he listed, you know, that you have cancer. This is the chemotherapy treatment we want to use. And here are all the symptoms that could result.
Side effects?
Yeah. Not even short term. Like he said, you know, right now it could be, it might be hard to swallow, or your voice might be hoarse. But then he said, with your chemotherapy drugs in your 30s, you could have breast cancer. That's a common second cancer for having radiation to the chest, which now, being in my 30s, that hits a little too close to home.
Wow.
And then he said, you know, one of the chemotherapy drugs could result in a cardiac arrest in your 40s. And it just went on and on.
Unbelievable.
But isn't that what the enemy likes to do? Mm-hmm. Because just when you get over one hiccup, one trial, and you seem like you're in the clear, he wants us to battle fear for the rest of our lives.
You are so right.
And it's the heartlessness of the enemy. That is something where I have to battle every day when I go into scans. I remember what my oncologist has said, and I need to do those scans to be wise. But I need to remember the truth of God first and foremost.
Yeah. You know, remember when my hubby was diagnosed with cancer, it was about 25 years ago. And things were just starting to turn for the better for me before another relapse would happen. But they were looking okay. And we sent a Christmas card out going, hey, we think we made it through this tough stretch.
Yeah.
We literally got the Christmas card out in the mail and discovered a lump on him. And he was diagnosed. And my dad called him. And my dad's kind of a gruff man. But he called him and said, you're in the club now. And he says, what do you mean? And he said, it's a club no one wants to be a part of. But he said, when you've you know, gotten the diagnosis, he said, I just want you to know you're not less of a man when the scan time comes and you feel afraid or you're over analyzing your body for different symptoms. He said, it doesn't make you weak. It makes you normal. He said, because no one wants to go through this, but here we are, but you're going to make it through. And that is the case, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's because everybody has sharp shooting aches and pains and weird symptoms. But once you've experienced the trauma of that kind of diagnosis, it, like you said, just as the enemy wants, it can keep you in fight and flight. So we've got a few minutes before our break, but I want to talk about just, so you were with your parents that day and they're running down the list of things that could happen.
Yes.
How long did it take for you to sort that through and go, I got to find my way back to peace again?
I mean, it was one of those things where I had to go back every night. I would just sit with my Bible spread out and I would just listen to worship music, and I couldn't hop on social media or anything like that that could potentially derail me. I had to remember, what does my God say in this situation? And I remember one of the biggest truths that really helped me through is I remember that God didn't tell Joshua, don't feel afraid. He just said, don't be. There's a big difference between what we're feeling and what we're becoming.
Yeah.
And so we can stop fear in its tracks when we remember the truth of God and actually believe he's telling the truth.
Come on. Come on. Somebody got to text me an amen. 877-933-2484. Text me an amen. I got to hear one, because that is good. It's the difference between feeling afraid and being afraid. And God cares so much about what we're becoming. And if we let our emotions win the day and lead the way, we'll lose our way, right?
Yes.
Talking to Heidi Lee Anderson today about her book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. So on the other side, we're going to talk more about how you navigated fear, what you've learned about fear. And you've got some great examples from Scripture, stories from Scripture about the what if questions. What if I'm not enough? What if I'm off course? And so we're going to address some of those as well. And then I want to know how you got to P.S. It's Going to Be Good. How did you get to that point where you thought, my story's going to be good? It's going to turn out all right. More with Heidi Lee Anderson in a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a fantastic day, having a great conversation today with author Heidi Lee Anderson. She's written the book, P.S. It's Gonna Be Good, How God's Word Answers Questions About Faith, Fear, and All the Things. Got a handful of copies to give away. And if you heard the beginning of the show, you know that she writes, or I should tell you, she writes like she speaks. She's honest and raw. And when she was in college, or just after college, she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and really having to deal with, I mean, all the side effects. I mean, even when, you know, I went into my last three oral surgeries I've had that have been pretty major in the last year, you read all the disclaimers. We might break your jaw. We might clip a facial nerve. We might, you know, blow your head up, but go on, sign here, you know. And yours is even worse when you're looking at the effects of radiation and chemo and all the things. I mean, you're a young girl and looking at the threats of that. And you talked about before the break, navigating the fear. And you, like you said, I don't know if you said this before the show or at the beginning of the show, but it's not a once and done thing. The enemy's constantly prowling around looking for ways to bait us into fear. First, before we talk about navigating fear, why do you think that is? Why does he want us so in fear?
Well, what I've come to know is that the enemy knows full well who we are.
Come on.
He knows that we are daughters of the Most High King and that we are given his armor so that we can stand strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that we actually hold, when we hold up the shield of faith, that we can actually extinguish all of his flaming darts. Mm-hmm. He knows that full well, but he's just banking on us not to know that, to doubt that, to give that up. But we don't need to.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And perfect love casts out fear. And I think when we live loved, we're the most dangerous to the enemy.
Yeah.
But we're in fear. We're not understanding and walking and appropriating that love. So super important. So, okay. So here you are, this young gal dealing with, I mean, really what a lot of people fear.
Yeah.
How did you learn to navigate the constant onslaught and even the sometimes subtle attacks of fear that blindside you when you're not, when you've let your guard down?
Well, Naomi's story actually really spoke to me in the Bible because she had what felt like the worst case to her, right? Her husband passed away, her sons passed away, and now she moved to this foreign land and she has to move back with no money, no real hope for the future. But when we pit her story against Naomi, I mean, when she comes back home, she's like to her friends, don't even call me Naomi anymore, right? The Lord has made me very bitter. Call me Mara. And I remember reading her story and thinking, I could misinterpret my situation as well, that the Lord has made me bitter. But that would only be what the enemy wants for me, right? And that when we look at Ruth, who clung to her God, and that she was hopeful and that he would show up on her behalf. Well, when we fast forward to the end of her story, we actually see that God turned her tragedy into triumph because that is just what he does. And Naomi didn't need a life shaded by bitterness or regret. She chose that. Mm-hmm. And I was dead set that I didn't want that. And so it was stories like that in the Bible when I had faced these struggles or these questions. Women like Naomi or Ruth or, you know, any of the Bible characters, really God used them to bring me his hope and to remind me of his promises.
Mm-hmm. So good. What was your journey? How long did your treatment journey last with chemo and radiation?
Yeah, so that is a very fun story because my treatment was supposed to last 6 months for chemotherapy and 6 weeks for radiation. And during that time, I just, from working at a large church, there were many people praying for me. And it soon became apparent as my oncologist was taking test after test after each treatment that he started to realize, you know what, Heidi, your body is responding well, but not in a well like as we projected, we'll keep going with treatment, but so well that we need to cut your treatment in half.
Come on.
And man, when you know the effects of chemo on the body, that was a huge call to celebrate.
Wow.
And I remember my pastor would put it this way, that we don't always know how God's going to move, but we do always know what will happen if we give into doubt, disbelief. Mm. I mean, that's when Jesus couldn't perform any miracles in his hometown, or that's when the Israelites couldn't enter the promised land. So I understand that's not everybody's story, and I'm always really cautious about that. But I do know that we are always told in the Bible what happens when we don't choose faith, and that is always a choice. But in the Psalms, like Psalm 71, he said, as for me, I will always have hope.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants for us, the God of hope. He wants us to cling to hope, even when it looks really bad.
So good. You know, there are scientists even who don't profess faith, but confess and admit that those who have faith fare better in these sicknesses than those who don't.
It's like, we're not surprised, right?
I know, exactly. It's a mystery to them, but it shouldn't be to us, because, and it's not a magic potion. It's not a magic formula. It's engaging our hearts with a God who keeps his promises. Yeah. You said, when we lie awake at night, worrying, overwhelmed by the circumstances of today, haunted by the pain of what tomorrow may bring, Jesus' invitation to freedom is not elusive nor out of reach. It's actually clear as day, within arm's reach. When we open up our Bibles and step outside our story, immersing ourselves in his story, we'll not only discover the pathway he's already laid out for us to seize that promised free abundant life, we'll see in fact how he's been offering it this entire time. Mm. And I'd love to know, before we dig into some of these stories you outline in your book, but what were those, were there sacred moments in that journey where God surprised you, or he just met you, and you're, you know, I mean, there have been a few times for me like that where I rolled out of bed, went to my face because God invaded my story. How about you?
Well, it's actually one of my favorite stories to tell is that at the very beginning of treatment, my pastor had asked, would you mind sharing your story during communion? And to be honest, at the time, I didn't really want to, because I was 1 week in, my hair was just starting to fall out, and I didn't know how good things looked. And I started to believe that I wasn't in a good place to share the good news, which is such a lie. Mm. And I finally thought, okay, I feel the conviction to share, and so I did. And I shared my story, mainly that Jesus told me, in this world, I will have trouble. But in John, he says, we can take heart. Why? Because he's already overcome. And as I shared at my church, guess who just so happened to be visiting that weekend?
Who?
It was the Tyler Anderson, now my husband.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, I didn't know him.
The Tyler.
The
Tyler. Okay.
But he had been going to a church up north, but he was hanging out with some friends, and they said, let's just go to church and then we'll go out to dinner afterwards. And so he heard my story and he went out to dinner with his friends after. We hadn't talked that day. But as he was sitting around the table, one of the guys was like, ugh, how sad, like 23 years old and already facing cancer. And he looked around like, if this is how everyone's responding to her, let alone if this is how the church is responding to her without hope, then I need to reach out. So he wow. sent me a Facebook message. It was very simple. It just said, I heard your story. I'm praying for you. God wants you well. And we messaged back and forth for months, went on our first date, and the rest is history. And what I love about that is that God could have sent my husband at any other point now in my 35 years of life. Mm. But he chose the short 6-month stint when I desperately wanted hope for a future. And that is just the wow. goodness of God right there.
So good. And, you know, truly, how God will put seeds into our soil that give us a hope for a future. And yes. Tyler was a seed for yes. your future, because all of a sudden you could envision a hope and a future.
Absolutely.
And I can only imagine the feel-good hormones of yeah. dating someone and falling in love with
yes.
someone, how healing that must have been yes. for your body. Even.
Yes.
How oh, cool.
Yes. It was an awesome thing.
Wow. How from when you met to when you married, how much time?
You know what? It was about a year and a half. I wow. thought I was hoping it would be 6 months.
Yeah.
But he's a little more cautious than me.
Wow. And is that when you started to have hope for your future? When did you get a sense that it's going to be good?
You know, that is a good question. I don't know if there was a particular time. I think it was just a moment by moment thing where I just had to remember Romans 8:28, that he will use all things for my good and his glory. And while I have no idea how that could play out, I'm banking on that promise.
Mm-hmm. What did the doctors tell you as far as prognosis when you were first starting out? What was their guesstimate of how this was going to go?
Yeah, you know, they said this was a better cancer to get, that the 80% of people are healed after treatment. And so it looked good at the beginning, mm. which was helpful.
Mm, that's so good. What would have been your biggest struggle? I mean, people saying goofy things,
yeah.
getting in your own head. What was
yes.
your heart?
Yes, that for sure was the hardest part, because I'd be at a place where I would feel at peace with where the Lord had me and that he was with me. And then all of a sudden, I remember having a conversation with a friend and she was crying for me. And I was at a point where I was actually feeling good and encouraged by the Lord. And after that, it almost was like, I need to go back to God and get back to that
yeah,
spot. Because
right.
now that planted those what if situations in my head, and maybe it isn't that good, and maybe God's going to allow something worse. And I really had to battle against that. And that's why I decided to blog updates instead of tell people
yeah,
necessarily.
Very smart. Very smart.
Because that was hard.
Yeah. I remember when interviewing Darlene Check, and she battled, I think it was breast cancer. I'm almost sure it was breast cancer, but she got to pretty low points. But she said she had to ruthlessly eliminate certain voices from her life mm-hmm. because they were constantly speaking fear. And she's
yes.
like, I'm not breaking up. I just
yes.
cannot have a conversation.
Yes.
I need everything that I can do to keep my heart in a place of faith and redemption. That's not helping. So I think when you go through seasons, I think it's really wise to guard your inputs. You
yes.
know?
Well, and I think of Caleb and Joshua, that mm-hmm. they're facing this promised
yeah.
land, that they thought, you know what? God has given us this land. But what happened? 10 out of 12 people swayed millions
yes.
of Israelites
into
away,
disobedience.
Yes,
yes.
Yes. Away from God's promises. And man,
yeah.
if 10 people can do that to millions,
yeah.
then how much more we need to be guarded at times.
So good. Heidi Lee Anderson is my guest today. Her book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good, How God's Word Answers Our Questions About Faith, Fear, and All the Things. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And we'll be back in a moment. So much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a really fun conversation with Heidi Lee Anderson. And you normally wouldn't call it a fun conversation when you're talking about a cancer diagnosis, but Heidi makes it fun. I don't know. You have a way of bringing sunshine yeah. to the soul. I love that God has chosen to raise you up and to use you in the way he has. And I see why. It's just so easy to see. I could cry. I mean, really, like when he sings over you and he loves you. He's so proud of you. And I'm proud of you. And I just love that God has emerged and pulled you up out of the ashes of what the enemy meant for evil. Yeah. God has turned it for good, and you are singing his praises. It's beautiful. Her book is P.S. It's Going to Be Good, How God's Word Answers Our Questions About Faith, Fear, and All the Things. And Heidi tells her cancer story, but so much more, digs way into Scripture about all the what-if questions that we tend to have when we face our obstacles, and points us back again and again to the promise of God's Word and the power of his nature and his character, the consistency of who he is. We can trust him, and our lives are better when we trust him. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Heidi writes this: while we're still sitting in the middle of our stories with no idea how they're going to play out, the author of our lives has already written the ending. Okay, I keep saying we're going to get to these, you know, Eve, did God really say, and Gideon, and their questions. But I just have to ask you, if, you know, this has been something for me that I feel like I'm still kind of dealing with. I feel like I'm in a much better place with it, but I'm not fully resolved to it. But when you come through an illness, the worst part of it, and as you talked about, the threats that are hanging over your head, it's kind of sometimes hard to fully exhale to say, there, I did it. You know what I'm saying? Because the threat is always there, or there's symptoms or things that are the residual impact. And, you know, I used to feel like there was this big shoe hanging over my head and just waiting for it to drop. And I don't feel like that anymore, but I still, just because the dailiness of the symptoms I deal with, there's still that little something where the enemy can get in and go, did God say? And what if this is as good as it gets? Yeah. And what if the worst comes back? And I'm wondering how you sort through that.
Yeah. And you know what? One of my favorite women, my favorite character in the whole Bible, besides Jesus, obviously, is Martha. Because I had to wonder that question, what if the worst case actually happens? And I wanted to look at someone in the Bible where the worst case did in fact happen and what happened. And what I love about Martha's story is that when her brother was sick, what does she do? Well, she sends a message straight to Jesus. And she doesn't even say his name. She just says, send the message that your dear friend is very sick. Like, he's going to know exactly who you're talking about. And she had faith that Jesus would come and that he would heal this dear friend, her brother. But when we read more of that story, we find out Jesus didn't come on time in her perspective. In fact, he hung back a couple days late. And so the worst case that she thought, that her brother would die, did in fact happen. And so what I love, though, is when you follow Martha and Jesus does finally show up on the scene, what does she say? She meets him in the middle of the road, and you can almost picture her with her hand on her hip and finger wagging and said, Lord, if you would have come like I asked, my brother wouldn't have died. And sometimes, like when I was going through the cancer diagnosis, Lord, if you would have answered my prayer, if you would have come like I asked, if you would have healed me in the get-go, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. But when I read Martha's story and I watch what Jesus does, I love how, first thing, I mean, he weeps with Martha. He's not this calloused, distant, far off God where he's just kicking back while we're struggling. Like, peace out. I hope you figure it out down there.
Or is he getting mad going, do you know who you're talking to?
Right.
You know, Savior. Hello.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He really entered into her sorrow without scolding her.
Right.
Yeah.
He empathized with her weakness, and he looked on and he cried too. That was his dear friend too. But what I see from Jesus and what brings me the most hope when I'm wondering what if the worst case happens, and even if I'm reeling from actually the worst case happening, what I love is that we see Jesus commands Lazarus to come back to life. And when Martha knew him as her healer, well, she didn't yet know him as the resurrection. And so that's why he stayed put. And maybe I'm wondering, when I'm facing something and I didn't feel like Jesus came on time, well, one, I can remember that my God empathizes, that he doesn't like the situation either. But then two, Jesus is on the way and he promises to twist and flip every bad thing for our good and his glory. But then three, he's going to showcase something more of who he is that maybe I didn't know before.
That's brilliant. So good. So good. Appreciate that. So to what degree, I mean, do you... If you could just sort of When you're, I'm sorry, I'm trying to think of how I want to ask this.
Yeah.
Where you're at now, how many years out are you?
So I'm a little over 10 years.
Wow.
Years was last fall.
That's a good sign.
Yes.
So where would you say you're at now versus 5 years ago and 7 years ago in with the thoughts of what if it returns? Is that never on your mind now or is it just a little on your mind?
Actually, it has ramped up more so. And the reason being is when I was diagnosed, I was single at the time. And now I have.
Yes, when you have kids.
Yes. And now I have 4 beautiful kids. I have an 8, a 7, a 4, and a 1-year-old who I desperately want to raise. And also, once I hit my 10-year appointment, I thought it would be a cause to celebrate. And my oncologist actually said, actually, these next 5 years are the most crucial, where breast cancer is common during this time. So we need to ramp up not only your annual mammogram, but now a semi-annual type of scan. And he made me walk out of that appointment thinking I was going to celebrate and instead dreading the next 5 years.
Wow.
And yes, so I am very much still in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And these questions in my book, they're what I'm asking even right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being honest about that. And friends, as you think of Heidi, pray for her, because that's the thing is I just wanted to convey it's so important that it's just not a once and done thing. And I think some people will look at you, a young published author or looking at me, whatever, and think that we've checked a box, we've suffered, and now it's all good all the time. And it just isn't. There's always the threat that's hanging over your head. And yet somehow, can we live with the enemy's constant in our ear and find joy in the present and even comfort and peace where it's like, you're not going to ruin my day and you're not going to rob my joy.
Right.
And I'm going to show up in life with all of who I am. You're not going to steal that from me.
Right.
But I think that takes all kinds of courage to live that way. And it's important for people to hear that, because I think some may be listening going, but you don't know what my scenario is.
Yeah.
And you say that often in the book, I don't know what your scenario, but even whatever it is, we can still trust God.
Yeah. I mean, I think Stephen Furtick said the birthmark of a Christian is a bullseye on the back of it. The devil isn't just after the Billy Grahams of this world or our pastors. He's after God's people because he doesn't want people to be saved.
That's right.
And so it's one of those things where life is a battle because there's more going on than what we can see.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's so good. Okay. I'm just going to walk through a few of these characters from scripture that you explore. So Eve, the question is, did God really say? Now, of course, that was the enemy's ploy against her. But is there any insights you want to share about Eve?
Yeah. For me, when I was diagnosed with cancer and even later when we miscarried and different obstacles, there was that question like, did God really say that his goodness would follow you all the days of your life? Because I don't know, things aren't looking that good to me right now. Did God really say he would flip this for your good and his glory, because it doesn't look like he answered your prayer here? And when we hear that voice, it's important to call it out. Who is that I'm listening to right now? It's not just our own thoughts that we're just processing. No, that's the enemy's lies. Mm-hmm. And so when we target and we actually call it out, well, then I don't know about you, but I don't want to listen to it anymore. I don't want to listen to him anymore.
Golly, amen. All right, Gideon, what if I don't have what it takes?
Yeah, I love Gideon, how God calls him mighty and warrior. And when we find Gideon, in Judges 6, he's not standing on the front lines, face painted, battle ready. No, he is hiding out. He is scared to face his life. And what I love about that is when I'm scared to face the circumstances of my life, that in Jesus, we are called more than overcomers too. So he didn't just call Gideon mighty warrior. He's calling us that too. And his story has really encouraged me when I've been waking up and feeling those fears that we have to move forward in faith, knowing it's God who is with us. He says, am I not sending you? It's actually the Lord Almighty who sends us and goes with us. And when we remember that presence, man, then anything we lack, and no matter how mighty our enemy is, we know our God is greater.
Indeed. Oh, amen, amen. All right, Esther, what do I do when God seems silent?
Oh, it's interesting how the book of Esther, you don't see the name of God once. And so as you read her story, it can seem like God is silent. And even when her cousin says, you got to go before the king, and she's like, I'm going to pray about that because I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do. And when she prays and fasts, I mean, it doesn't even say in scripture she got an answer, but what was still there must have been the conviction to move forward with what she felt like God was leading her to. And at the end of her story, we see, man, not only did God spare a whole nation through her boldness and obedience, but also her Esther and Mordecai were raised to, they were promoted mm-hmm. and they didn't even think that was possible.
Right.
And when I remember, okay, if God was silent in that story, what appeared to be silent, then I can remember he's still working behind the scenes. And when I move forward still with steps of obedience, he will show up and I will see in the end his good plans prevail.
That's so good. Rabbi Jason Sobel talks about how the Jewish people see that story as the unseen hand of God, that there's the seen hand of God and then there's the unseen hand. And that's where they learn to, as you say, trust him, that he's moving even when you can't see him. So that's so good. Joshua, the question is, what if God's promises don't line up with my reality? Yeah. Many people have asked that before.
Yes. And when we see Joshua, I mean, he's looking at these walls of Jericho and God said, see, I've delivered them into your hands. Yeah. And it's like, wait a second.
I don't see.
And what I'm seeing are these walls. But what I love is that God didn't misspeak. And he said past tense, delivered for a reason. That in God's eyes, the situation was already as good as done. That Joshua just needed to move forward in the confidence and promises of God. And so even when my reality, it doesn't look like it lines up with God's promises. Well, man, we have a faith in what is unseen. And we need to be certain of what is unseen. And that's God's promises. And when we do, we will see how his promises that are spoken as if they are already done, well, they are. And we will see that come to pass.
Hallelujah. Somebody got to text me an amen. I need another amen, Angie. Maybe you can text me an amen. You got my cell number. All right. So we talked about Martha. Are there any others from scripture that you want to draw from and point out?
Well, I love, love, love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because here were these faithful guys, and they were staying true to God, but then what happens? They were thrown into this fiery furnace. And so again, the worst case actually happened, and people could point before enduring and saying, well, where is this God of theirs? But what I love is how I noticed three men went into that fire, and three men walked out. It was only in the fire when the king could see Jesus. And later, at the end of that story, I mean, that's when the king leaps to his feet and he said, didn't we only throw three men in? Because I see four and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. And what I have found, even in, especially in my cancer diagnosis, is when I am thrown into the fire and it all goes up in flames, if I decide to put Jesus on display, man, he will. He will show himself strong. And maybe that was the whole point all along, that when they came out, these three men, the king said, man, there is no other God like this. And just maybe there are people watching us right now facing the situation we are. And maybe that's the whole point, is that when we point them to Jesus, they may at the end say, man, there is no other God like this God.
Come on. Amen. As we get ready to go to break, I got to read another excerpt from the book. When we're faced with our fears, we have the tendency to focus on ourselves, what we lack, what we're unable to do, how this will affect our future. The pathway to choosing faith over paralyzing what-if questions is to take our eyes off of ourselves and fix them on our God. Focus on his character. Zero in on his promises. I love it. I love it. We're going to take a break here. More with Heidi Lee Anderson on the other side. And again, her book is titled P.S., It's going to be good. My friend Jody said to me years ago, if your story's not good yet, it's because God's not done yet. I want to talk on the other side how you came up with that title and what you want people to know about the fact that it's going to be good. It's going to be okay. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
The Bible is valuable. And reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, having a really great conversation with my new friend, Heidi Lee Anderson. I absolutely love this girl. And boy, maybe next time you are on, you'll have to tell people about your publishing story. It'll surprise and bless some, and probably others will be like, oh, because it just so rarely happens. But God had chosen that you would be published, and it just so happened that a publisher reached out to you. Again, we used to host a writer's conference on the campus of the university for 5 years, and we used to tell people that just doesn't happen. But it did, and it does. So there you go. So if you're continuing, I mean, I think it was Mark Batterson has said this on the show, as well as a few others, but they basically have all said, you deepen your roots, God will broaden your impact. Mm-hmm. And that's just true. If you're faithful in your private struggle, God will be faithful to promote you when the time is ready. And he's done that with you, Heidi. Mm-hmm. And I honor God for honoring you. I'm mm-hmm. super grateful. So her book is titled, P.S. It's Going to Be Good, How God's Word Answers Our Questions About Faith, Fear, and All the Things. So talk about the title, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. What do you want your readers to know about that?
Yes. Well, while I was sitting in the middle of these Bible stories, you know, so often it feels like I fast forward to the end, you know, their highlight reels. Like Elijah actually calls down fire from heaven, or Martha's brother is raised from the dead. But when I realized, okay, when I sit in the middle of their stories, things always looked really bad and they had reason to give up hope. But what happened? When we see the end of their stories, then we understand why God did what he did, and that his goodness really does follow us all the days of our lives. Mm. And so I just really wanted people to know, whether you're in the middle of a cancer diagnosis, or you just heard word that you're miscarrying, or you face an unexpected bill when you're already struggling, in the middle of our stories, it can feel like God isn't here, that it's going to get worse, that the enemy is indeed winning. But when we look at scripture and remember God's promises, then we can remember, like Romans 8:28, he is going to use all things, not just some things or maybe a couple big things, but really just the small things. No, he will use all things for our good and his glory. And if we actually believe that, then we can know at the end, well, no matter how it looks right now, it's not only going to be okay, but P.S., it's going to be good.
Come on. I want to jump up and throw confetti. That's so fantastic. When we do what we can do and then bank everything on God to do what only he can do, we can move forward in confidence, knowing that our God will surely show up. One of the what if questions that you address in the book that we haven't talked about yet is, what if I'm off course? What do you say?
Yeah. And the Israelites really speak to that story, because they were just freed from slavery and they were heading to the promised land. It's like, God, take us on the freeway. We are ready to go home. But what do we see? It says in Exodus 13 that God actually brought them on the roundabout way. And it can seem like, man, I'm off course then. Why can't we just go on the main route? Well, when we actually take a look at that story, we realize that God had a few reasons why. And one is that the main road takes them through Philistine territory. And he said maybe that they wouldn't have the power to fight against them and have enemies on both sides. But then when we follow them on the roundabout way and they get to the edge of the Red Sea, and it looks like the Red Sea's in front, and they start to hear the chariots of Pharaoh's armies coming at them. I mean, right there, it looks like, wait a second, what do we do now? But what is so good about this story is that we see, once God parted the sea and they moved forward on dry land, that's when God sent the waters back along with their enemies in it. And what I love about that is that God wanted to wipe out their enemy once and for all, so that they wouldn't have to live their entire lives looking over their shoulder, nervous that Pharaoh was going to come after them. No, God wanted to set them free, just like he wants to do for us today, too.
Mm. Boy, that's so good, so good. You know, we've talked about this so many times on the show, and I'd love your thoughts on it as well. But the idea that God often allows our current battles to position us for freedom, but I'd also say to train us and thus protect us from a worse attack of the enemy down the road. And you write it this way, will you believe that God may be protecting you from a harder battle, one you may be too weak to withstand? It's a thought worth entertaining, and may be a mercy we don't even realize until after, on this side of heaven, or when we finally go home. How have you even seen that in your own life, where you've gotten a sense that, yes, this was hard, but I get the sense with how God worked in it that he actually positioned me to protect me from a worse battle?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And it's one of those things, like even walking through a cancer diagnosis and then later a miscarriage, as I got to the other side And I started to talk to more women that also went through the same thing. And then what I shared, what God had taught me, and seeing how 2 Corinthians 1 really coming to light, where he takes our sorrow and encourages us in our sorrow, brings us comfort, not just for our own well-being, although he's so good to do that, but he says he does that so that we can turn around and comfort others. And as I've gone through these different struggles, and even in the midst of them, as I've been faithful to try to turn back around and share that same comfort that the God of all comfort has given me, then I start to see his redemption play out, if that makes sense.
So good. You know, I think it's so interesting how the Israelites glamorized Egypt when they were in the gossip complaining mode against Moses.
Yeah.
And yet if you look at the backstory, it's repeatedly described as backbreaking, unrelenting,
yes,
you know, slave labor to yes. the point that even God saw that it was relentless and merciless, and yes. he decided it's time to move. I'd love for you to speak to that tendency that we have when, you know, we think if it's hard, it can't be God. And it's just not true. You know, God is in the heart. And when we're in those places where, especially if they're led by God, you know, go this way. So we go that way. And then we find ourselves in a pickle. I think we're so quick to accuse God and then glamorize the past. But yeah. truly, the people who knew us, when they would testify, no, it wasn't as good as your you know, painting it to be. I'd love right. for you to speak to that dynamic, and maybe someone who's listening today who's kind of doing that right now. Well, that other season was way easier than this, but others would testify, actually, it really wasn't, and God has you here now for a purpose.
Yes. And I've thought that where when I went through my miscarriage, it was like, you know what, I was better off before even trying. And then now I'm experiencing this when I had two healthy kids, and why did I need to go through this? And I think we can glamorize the past when the beautiful thing about our God is that I love how even in Psalm 23, like we talked about the Lord being our shepherd, is that he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. That's never our stay. That's never our home, that he's leading us on to greener pastures. And so God wants us to move forward and not to dwell on the past. He's doing a new thing, and we can trust that involves his goodness.
Indeed. Amen. No, amen. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that has helped me with that, not projecting fears into the future and not thinking this is so hard, that there were pockets of time back then that it wasn't so hard, is present day gratitude. You know, learning to thank God in the present. And I'd love to know just your thoughts on gratitude and how that's really helped you keep perspective. And I'll just add, I've said for years that ingratitude makes us spiritually blind, because if you're embracing an attitude that I deserve more than God is giving me, right. you can't see what God is giving you. You right. can't see what he is already doing in and right. through you. So how has that helped you navigate some of these harder times?
Yeah, you know, I've had times where I've been so fearful that cancer would return, or that I would die young and not be able to raise my kids. And I remember my husband telling me, man, you're so worried about that possibly happening in the future, and you're missing that. You get to do that right now. Mm. You get to be with your kids today. You get to speak life into them now. And when I realized, yeah, that's true, that when we project these fears into the future, it's really robbing us of our presence today, the joy, the good plans that God has right in front of us. And I think that's what the enemy wants for us, because mm-hmm. then no longer are we walking in what God has for us today. We're clutching our hands so tight to the plans that we want, and we're so nervous that we're not even faithfully living in thankfulness of today.
Yeah. And the gratitude is amazing, because it's good for our physiology.
Yes.
It's good for our perspective and our heart, and God deserves it.
Yes.
You know, to be grateful in all times is always God's will for us.
Yes.
And I know it's such a game changer. Well, when you look at just your present day calling, and you look at what the enemy's constantly trying to just bait you with fears of tomorrow, what do you sense when you shut the enemy up and you turn a deaf ear to him, and God gives you vision? What does the God-given vision look like for you? What is he inviting you to dream with him about?
Yeah. Well, I've been really thinking about Elijah's story, when one night he's falling asleep in peace. And the next morning in 2 Kings 6, I believe, he's waking up and there's this enemy right outside his window, and his servant is panicking, like, what do we do now? And it's Elijah that says the prayer, Lord, open his eyes and help him see. And that's when the servant saw these horses and chariots of fire surrounding angels, all surrounding them. And I've really felt God challenging me to pray that prayer, Lord, open my eyes and help me see that as I'm walking into different appointments, as I'm struggling with certain fears. It says in Psalm 91 that God, he commands his angels concerning us in all of our ways to guard us.
Yep.
And when I realize that truth and I have the eyes to see all around me, well, then the enemy at knocking at the door loses its power, right?
Yeah, indeed. So as you're navigating that and you're saying, open the eyes of my heart that I may see you and all that you have in motion for me, do you have the, I mean, we just got about 45 seconds left, but do you have a sense of where God may be taking you, or is he just telling you stay present in the moment?
You know, I've really been thinking about the good father and his lost kids. And I've lost Oscar once in the library. 5 minutes was all it took, and it was total panic. And I've been really realizing that's God's reality every day.
Wow.
He has lost sons and daughters.
Wow.
And he wants his kids to also be concerned about their lost brothers and sisters. Mm. And so I just want to share the hopeful message of Jesus and that he is on the way and it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. It's
going
to be good. Heidi, what an honor and great gift to meet you today. And you did a fantastic job. Thanks for joining us.
It was a joy to be here. Thank you so much.
Love it so much. Heidi Lee Anderson is my guest today. Her book, P.S., It's Going to Be Good, How God's Word Answers Our Questions About Faith, Fear, and All the Things. We're going to leave that drawing open for a little bit longer. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I pray you found some encouragement here today. It's going to be good. Keep your chin up. Keep looking to Jesus. Walk intimately with him. Trust him. It's going to be good. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Susie Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live.